A long time ago, when I was 21 years old, I was getting married to my husband, Jim, in Eureka, California. It was 2 days before the wedding, and my sister asked me to go hear a talk at the college nearby Humboldt State. It was being given by Swami Dayananda. He was a holy man from India, a very beautiful man who would become a family friend in the future. But at that point, I'd never met him, and so I went with my sister. He did give a beautiful talk, and at the end of it, he had a satsang, which is simply a time for people to sit around and ask questions and have him answer them. During that time, a woman came in, and she gave him a gift, and he unwrapped the gift, and it was just the most beautiful prayer rug. It was all different colors. It was woven in India. It was just very beautiful, and he thanked her for the rug, and everybody saw the rug. 2 days later, I was in the rectory of the church waiting to walk down the aisle, and Swami Dayananda came in, and he gave me a gift. When I opened it, it was the prayer rug that he had just received. Two things happened in that moment. One, I felt very special and honored to receive this beautiful gift. And two, he released a gift which freed him and made it possible for him to then receive something else. Richard Rohr, Franciscan teacher, says there are two ways to receive a gift. One is to take it in for yourself and to feel special and important, and then the gift stops right there. The other is to do what we kind of call regifting, which is to take the gift and then realize you have a responsibility to pass it on to somebody else. And in our scriptures today, in all three readings, this idea of receiving a gift and then recognizing that we have a responsibility to share it with others is present. In the first reading of Isaiah, it tells us that the Jewish people have been gifted by God. They've received a beautiful nation, beautiful lands, beautiful river. But it says this is not just for them, that they will be asked to share this with all the other nations. In the second reading from St. Paul, it talks about God's revelation being given to the Jewish people, but it says now the circle is widening, and it must also be given to the Gentiles as well. This is very good news for us, because we are the Gentiles. We're the group that they're talking about here. A lot of people didn't agree with Paul. That's why we have two religions, Judaism and Christianity, because some people didn't agree with that idea. We are the fruit of those who said, whatever God is doing, it's for everybody, including the Gentiles. Then, exactly as some Jewish people wanted to contain that gift of Jesus for themselves, we Catholics took on the same idea. We said, I think Catholics are the chosen ones. We're the ones who really understand God. We own the Eucharist, so we are the most special. And then the evangelicals kind of learned that from us. Now they think they're the most special, right? So as human beings, we kind of have a problem with this idea of sharing the gifts that we're given. We like to think, oh, I think it's just for me. But in these readings today, God gives us a very different message. In today's reading, which is a beautiful story of the three kings coming to Jesus, which, of course, we have to point out, there really doesn't say that there's three of them. It also doesn't say they're kings. I think we get that from that song we sing, We Three Kings, right? What it says is that there were magi, wise men, who came from the east. We don't know exactly how many there were. We know that they came from the east, probably Persia, which today we would call Iraq and Iran. Iraq and Iran, a place of some terribly foreign, dangerous people, they're the ones that are now called to come and see Jesus. Strangers, not Jews, certainly not Christians, maybe kind of New Age people, they're watching the stars. These are the people who are chosen to come and witness Jesus' birth. So what is God saying to us here about how big this manifestation of God's presence in the world is? It goes way beyond anything that we're familiar with. During the month of December, I was able to go to one of Mike Boucher's Bible studies. He had Heather Layton, an artist from the U of R, who teaches art and social justice. She was fascinating, such an interesting person. I was really delighted to meet her. And she told some personal stories, and one of the stories she told was that several years ago, when we were in the heart of this war with Afghanistan, she woke up at 4 a.m. in the morning and she thought to herself, what do I know about my arch enemy, Afghanistan? And so she got out a paper and a pen to write down what she knew, and she thought, I sort of thought I knew the name of the leader. I thought maybe I knew what language they spoke, but I wasn't sure how to spell it. And I thought maybe I knew some of the sports they played, and that was it. She thought, that's really not adequate. If somebody's going to be my arch enemy, I really should know more about them. So she began to read about people of Afghanistan. And one of the things that she discovered is they celebrate an Independence Day from Great Britain, as we do on the 4th of July. She said, we have that in common. She said, she studied a little farther and she discovered there are 57 nations that celebrate independence from Great Britain. We share that with 57 other countries. So she and her husband thought, what a great thing to do. So they took a whole year and they celebrated every Independence Day that year of other countries. And they put it on Facebook, went global, and people all over the world were celebrating each other's Independence Days and posting pictures of themselves doing it on Facebook. Over 1 million people participated in that. A great act of discovering rather than what separates us, what connects us. These outsiders, these magi from Persia, are the ones who go outside their comfort zone to follow a star. They've made a discovery in their field, they're astrologers. They've discovered a new star, and so they drop everything to go follow this star. Think about the great people that we know who drop everything to follow their discoveries. People like Albert Einstein, who devoted his life to his discoveries, or a great artist like Michelangelo, or Mozart, or Helen Keller, or Susan B. Anthony, or Teilhard de Chardin. People who have seen a new way of thinking, who have a new thought, a new discovery, and have devoted their life to following that. This is who receives the news of the baby Jesus, the ones who have the epiphany, the discovery of the manifestation of God in the world, the ones who are able to see God present in a new way, a way different than perhaps they were raised to see it. In this story, we discover that God gives the message of the coming of Jesus to two groups of people, the poor, who are the shepherds, the poorest of the poor, and the outsiders, the magi. The gift of Jesus is not just for the Jews or the Catholics or the evangelicals. It's for everyone. This is a metaphor for who we are at Spiritus Christi, because at Spiritus Christi, we have opened ourselves to these two groups. We have said that in this community, the poor are our priority. It is the poor who teach us what it means to depend on each other and therefore to depend on God. And so because of that, we visit those who are in prison, in recovery, those who suffer with mental illness, those who are immigrants, those who are children struggling to read. We have also said that in our community, the outsiders will be welcomed and important. Those from other faiths or religions, those from other cultures, those who reveal God to us in a new way, people who come from Haiti or Chiapas, people who are farm workers, people who are homosexual or transgendered, people who are women, people who find God in nature, Sufis, Buddhists, Baptists, Muslims, and we invite art teachers and dance instructors to give us Bible studies so that we can really receive the gift we have we must give it away. As soon as we give away the gift of Jesus, then we really understand what the gift is. For the past 20 years, I have been the pastor at Spiritus Christi, your earthly pastor. We know that Jesus is our real pastor, thank God for that. But I have been your human pastor here at Spiritus. And I have realized in the last year that it's time for me to pass on that gift to the next person, to give someone else the wonderful opportunity of leading this community. On June 1st, I'm going to step down from my role as pastor here at Spiritus Christi. But this is important. I'm not leaving Spiritus Christi. I'll still be here as a priest, but I will not be the pastor or the leader of the community. I'm letting go of running the parish and of all the administrative work that includes, like finances and personnel and facilities and future planning. Some of you probably don't even know that I do it, that kind of work, but it is a big part of my job. You know, when I was younger, I couldn't wait to be in charge. Now that I'm older, I can't wait to not be in charge. It's the opposite. Not being in charge is very exciting to me at this point in my life. I'll be able to serve as a priest in new ways. Still preaching, I hope. I love to do that. And celebrating funerals and weddings. But also exploring new ways that God is leading me. I'm very interested in prayer and meditation, in retreats. I'm interested in finding justice for children, in cherishing our planet Earth, exploring our connections to foreign lands, especially those lands that have been called our enemies. I would just love to sit down and have dinner with a family from North Korea. It's really interested in making those connections. And I hope that you will join me in doing some of those things. I'm very grateful to be rooted in the Catholic Church, but the branches of my tree are reaching up to the sky, and God is so big. For God, there are no boundaries. There's no border wall. There's no denominations. There are no political parties. There are no people who are in and people who are out. Everything belongs. God is present in everything and everyone. It is mind-blowing to me. I want to explore that. I want to spend my time discovering that. So what will happen next? We will have the very exciting process of hiring a new pastor. At the end of the Mass, Rudy Dietrich, who is the chairperson of our visioning board, will get up and tell you how that's going to happen. And I will continue to be on the church staff, working on the crew, but not steering the ship. And this will be a great opportunity for Spiritus to reset its course and choose new leadership. 18 years ago, a little boy in the parish named Eddie Adamides came to me at this time of year, and he gave me a gift. I still have it. It is a telescope. He said to me, "Reverend Mary, I made this for you so that you can see the star clearly to follow it." I love that Eddie, at 7 years old, understood that this Christmas story is about a willingness to be led and a desire to follow. It's time for me to be open, to listen, and to be ready to follow the next things that God has for me. It's also time again for Spiritus to be led to its next phase, whatever God has for us. And we will all be fine, because God has always been in charge of our journey, and God already knows where we are going. And just as God guided the wise men to find Jesus and showed the shepherds the star, and led Joseph and Mary and Jesus as refugees into Egypt, God is guiding us. We are one. We have only to be willing to be led, to be open, to be brave, and to listen. And I love you all dearly.